That's with Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired, an aviator, now at the Sagamore Institute, publishing Measuring and Modeling Naval Presence. It applies directly to the real-life story right now, Fog of War, of the conflict in Gaza, the threat from Hezbollah to the north with its 150,000 or more missiles, some of them augmented by targeting mechanisms that are very precise, Iran's constant threats on air about sending Hezbollah south, attacking in case this or in case that, and then the larger war of all of the region getting into turmoil because the U.S. Navy is present. We're discussing it in terms of naval presence. However, we have to speak of where we go from here, not just this moment in time, Ford and Eisenhower, but the Ford and Eisenhowers of the future. 20 years is the average age, Jerry will correct me, of these hulls. We do not have at this point enough hulls for the demands of a world that has two fronts, and there's a potential third front that is constant in East Asia. The industrial base. Jerry, we've been through this, but let's use an example of the missile boats, the Ohio class, the SSGN. We don't have enough of them, and we don't have an industrial base to build enough of them. And you've taught me, I think, that we don't even have an industrial base that can repair them in due time. We're caught with on the stocks. I think of the Battle of Midway, how they had to turn around a carrier in, what did he give them, 24, 48 hours to get the carrier back out at sea for the Battle of Midway. That's where we are, but we don't have the base that can do it in 48 hours. Correct, Captain?
That is correct. And in fact, you know, beginning in 1993, when Les Aspin and Bill Perry, Secretary of Defense and Deputy Secretary of Defense, called in all the big defense companies and told them, hey, the peace dividends are coming. Defense budget's going to shrink. You all need to consolidate or die. And effectively, over the next 8 years, we had over 105 defense companies be reduced down to five. That was the level of consolidation that occurred. So today, as we face great power competition with Russia and China, and we also see things like the rise of Iran, and quite frankly, let's throw in North Korea as a wild radical there that we don't know exactly what's going to happen with them, then what we realize is we just don't have the ability to ramp production. Not just of ships like aircraft carriers or submarine repair, which one third of our submarine force right now is sidelined because we're behind on its maintenance, to include, I believe, John, two of those Ohio class SSGN boats are currently not available for the force. That means we only have two of those boats. That's a significant impact on our strike potential within the fleet. So we're not able to do things like manufacture 155 ammunition rounds for our big artillery tubes. You know, everything from missiles to aircraft to ships, we're behind on. China has 19 shipbuilding yards, one of which at Jingnan actually has more capacity than all American shipyards combined. And so we're really being outpaced right now on the industrial base. So our major question of the day is, how do we ramp back up that industrial base? The government had a role in shrinking it. I think the government's going to have a role in expanding it, where we need sort of a dedicated campaign plan to rapidly, and by rapidly, I mean within the next few years, expand that industrial base. It's going to take some money. It's going to take some people. It's going to take some time. We got to get started on it now.
And we've spoken mostly of surface ships. We now mentioned the SSGNs. My understanding is that the submarines are a powerful message as well. I don't know exactly how they're taken when an attack boat shows up or a boomer never shows up. They remain hidden from the solar system. But SSGN show up. I remember that one that showed up, wasn't it in Korea during an emergency? And they send a message too. And isn't our submarine fleet the card that we have that the adversary cannot play, Jerry?
Yes. And so, again, this idea from a present standpoint, in many ways, the submarines are a whisper, but it's a highly lethal whisper. Whenever you surface a submarine, like we surfaced the SSGNs and we put one into Busan, southern port in South Korea, that was a huge message that we sent to the North Koreans, or for that matter, the Chinese, because that's 150 Tomahawks right there, right underneath your nose. And you didn't see it coming. And by the way, when we take them back out and submerge it, you're not going to see it go. We're going to operate those where we want. all of our fast attack submarines, whether they're our older Los Angeles class or our very super stealthy Seawolf class or the new Virginia class that are coming online right now, those contain not only torpedoes, but also Tomahawk missiles themselves. Again, a sense of lethality that you cannot see. And so there's a presence that goes along of when you sort of tip your hand and show somebody that that boat is operating in your vicinity. But by and large, presence has been quantified within the surface force, whether it's destroyers, cruisers, battleships in the old days, or the aircraft carrier and amphibious ready groups, the marine amphibious ready groups. Those are very loud messages that we send based upon where they are deployed. And so right now, as we look after a period of quietude here in the United States, when you see that there are three large aircraft carriers moving across the oceans, the Eisenhower steaming across the Atlantic, the Carl Vinson is now underway and operating off the West Coast, moving between the Pacific Coast and Hawaii. You got the Reagan that is just getting underway out of Japan. And obviously the Gerald R. Ford, our newest aircraft carrier, although she's been at sea for some 7 years, this is her first deployment. And she's been extended on station in the Eastern Mediterranean. So we're seeing that real consolidation of naval presence and power projection, because nothing can project power like an aircraft carrier. And that's all coming to bear right now in the Middle Eastern region.
Captain Jerry Hendricks, United States Navy retired aviator, now at the Sagamore Institute. The paper is Measuring and Modeling Naval Presence. You can find it at the Sagamore Institute's website. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.